Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man.
You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the measuring stick. Let's go, hook him up!
I want to drag you until I wear your Texas ass out.
The game is ours to play.
And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Over the Top Radio. I am your host, Ed, in San Antonio, and I'm joined by my co-host, Katrera. What's going on, Katrera?
Not too much. What's going on?
Not too much. We also have our other co-host on the line, Craig. What's going on, Craig, besides Landstorm telling everyone on Twitter that you are fat?
Just hang up now, or are you going to be an ass the whole show?
I've been asked every show. What are you talking about?
Of all the things to poke at him at, you were saying that?
That's why I get to say it. That's why I get to say it. I get to call the pot black. Or the kettle
black. Let's get on a seesaw and watch your ass hit the ground first.
I weigh like 50, at least 50 pounds less than you, Craig.
Edward.
I'm under 280. Are you? Or are you on the other side of 320?
I'm on the other side of 3, I'll tell you that.
I'm rocking 165 out here.
Nice.
Yeah, well, no one cares about you little skitty ass.
Well, yeah, not my fault that you don't know how to take care of yourself.
Yeah. Well, I never had a stroke, you know, so.
That's like something to pick at me at. I had a debilitating, medical issue.
So's being overweight, and you're making fun of me for that, too, so.
That's controllable.
Anyways, let's get on the show before we start
turning
to kick each other's
Dixie
ass.
Dixie Carter is in the ring, and there's a banner in there that says, "Welcome back, AJ Styles."
Oh, and yeah, we're recording today early. I've got a little get-together tomorrow, so sorry to throw everybody off.
And this banner looks like it came right out of high school, too. My God.
Does it look like it was made with a Commodore 64, you know, with just the dots?
Exactly, it does.
I should probably illegally stream the show while we're doing this
it's
show.
It's on free TV.
Yeah, but I'm in a different room.
Cable hadn't reached every room in your house.
Actually, it does, but the TV that I have in this room is kind of old, and it doesn't go past fucking 40 on the cable for some reason. But anyway, we are here to. I'll let Craig discuss tonight's topic since it was his idea.
Yeah, this was my idea. So, Kate, if you will. Yeah, it was my idea. I was just thinking the other day about all the many seconds that there have been in professional wrestling, and I got to thinking about, of course, the midget blue monkey from the Lucha Libre world, and thought about all the other animals and things that people brought to the ring. And, you're thinking of, well, Jake had Damien, and then well, the Bulldogs had Matilda, and anyway, there was just a whole bunch of things going through my head about, you know, the different props, if you will, that people brought to the ring, most of them alive.
Like and living gimmicks.
Yes, exactly. The things that people brought to the ring that somehow, some way, got involved with professional wrestling and the ridiculousness that that pursued the gimmick itself. And so we thought we would talk about that. So it's not really a serious show, like we ever have like a serious show. But as you saw by our opening. But yeah, so we're talking about, Couture titled this Most Memorable Critters. I would go Living Breathing Gimmicks, I don't know. But yeah, let's
well, there's probably going to be more animals involved than mascots. So.
True.
Well, there could be, anything could be a mascot. I mean, we could say that Jim Duggan's 2x4 is going to be a mascot, you know, so.
Of course.
There's all kinds of things we could kind of throw in here.
Or Jimmy Hart's megaphone, or Rick Martel's thing, the.
A catchy show title.
Speaking of Lance Storm, we could talk about his tripod.
No.
That was a gimmick.
Yeah, him and Damien.
And it was successful.
Yes. Yeah.
But basically, you just said Damien. I would actually happen to say that the most famous animal mascot, I'm just screwing up everything tonight, the most famous animal in wrestling would probably be Damien.
That's right.
Agreed. Jake the Snake and Damien. Of course, he was killed at one point by the Andre the Giant.
No, he wasn't. He was killed by Earthquake. Earthquake pushed him. And Jake cried.
And it was Andre that got. And it was,
had
it
a
was
heart attack.
Andre that got freaked out by the Damien. That's right.
He was wearing a snakeskin necktie. Is what it looked like. Having trouble putting it on is what he. Well, he needed his mother to come in and fix it for him.
Right. And imagine being scared of snakes, and you actually have to try and hold it against you, like he's choking you and shit.
Things are those things,
yeah.
When they're in a cold environment, then you like them, but when you're too close, it's like creeps the shit out of you.
Mm-hmm. And one of my earliest memories of wrestling was WrestleMania 2, and Jake the Snake wrestled SD Jones in the opener.
George Wells,
that's what I meant. And rewriting history tonight, again. And the foam that came out of his mouth as the snake was draped over him because it was constricting him, so forth and so on. I don't know what kind of Alka-Seltzer they used to get that foam, but it was awful disgusting.
Dude, I just got seriously bashed on Twitter by one of the Shine wrestlers.
Okay.
You going to hear it? You're going to like it?
I don't love other people's misery, Ed.
I do.
Well, even mine?
Let loose.
All right, well, I tweeted that I hope that Leva Bates kicks Sassy Steffi in her muffin top tomorrow at the Shine pay-per-view, and one of her partners responded with, "So, since when does Chewbacca have room to criticize my partner? You look like Cheech if you had Eaton Chong. Shut up, Doughboy."
Yeah, you shouldn't have read that.
Yeah.
That was funny, though.
Sure.
Anyway, but going back to Damien, I remember watching the, I don't know if you guys watched the Jake the Snake DVD that came out a while back.
Yeah.
I think on one of the extras, I think he tells a story where he's, I think he's wrestling Rick Steamboat. I'm not too sure, but basically, when they gave him the snake, they told him don't ever let the snake get in the crowd, and something happened in that match, and the snake bolted for the crowd, and they basically had to stopped him when he was just inches away from getting over the barricade and onto a fan. And who knows what would happen if it would have actually got in there and kind of wrapped around the fan or something.
They wouldn't, like the ASPCA wouldn't let bring Damien to the ring. For some reason.
Now, he had different snakes as well, didn't he? I remember an Alpine
one until he got killed.
Yeah, Damien, he had Damien for fucking years and years and years. And then...
About 5 years.
Yeah, and then after Damien got killed, what was the next one? And wasn't the next one Revelations?
Revelations was the one, I think, when he came back from the Rumble when he was doing up, on the religion kick. But I know he brought another snake out after Damien got killed.
He had a white king cobra, didn't he?
Yes.
I think they didn't have a name, though. I think it was just the cobra.
That was a scary-ass snake. I mean, Damien was, a big-ass snake and scary, but we're talking about a king cobra the size of Damien. That's some fucking scary shit right there.
I remember when the Ultimate Warrior got locked in that room with the snakes. He looked on his face like Indiana Jones when he fell into the Well of the Souls in Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Right.
I remember, though, like, even before
Lucifer with the second snake. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's right. I just remember, though, like, Jake, his nickname was always the snake even before the WWE, and he had Damien. And he always kind of had, like, that thing where he was, like, I almost want to say he kind of slithered around. Like, I don't want to say slithered, but his movements were always kind of snakish, you know what I mean?
Right.
The snakes were made popular, but he had like the hottest finisher in the business at the time, the DDT.
Mm-hmm. They call Randy Orton the Viper, and there's these subtle things that he does, like when he's ready to hit the RKO. He'll like flare his cheeks like he's, like the snake. Jake used to, slide back out of the ring and do snake-like gestures because he was, quote-unquote, the snake.
I remember you always set it up with the short clothesline. I always love that move for some reason.
That's an awesome move.
he was a decent wrestler. I mean, like with psychology and stuff like that, he was very good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately, his downfall physically, I mean, he never lost the psychology, but his downfall physically was when, wasn't it the Honky Tonk Man broke, I don't know if it was a real guitar or whatever, but then he fucked him up and, like, really fucked him up bad with the guitar shot.
Break his neck, I think.
Yeah. Broke it or compressed it or something.
They had to turn him babyface just because he was getting cheered too much. Either DDT had a snake.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. People didn't get into it.
Jake was one of those guys that I used to watch when I was, younger, little even. And I bought everything that he did. There was always this doubt when you were watching wrestling when you were a kid. Jake, I believed everything he said. He just amazing.
He was like Sam Elliott on crack. That's what he was like. Because he always had that dark.
He talked real low during his promos. He wouldn't scream. Sometimes he would, but more often than not, he wouldn't.
Right.
Yeah.
Which in some ways was creepier than screaming.
Intense.
Yeah.
I mean, he really made you feel like he had some evilness to him. And who can also forget the snake that he brought to Randy and Elizabeth's wedding party?
It was awesome. It was in the box.
It's in the box.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe that snake bit Savage. I still can't believe they did that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then the snake went into business for himself and gigged him, and Savage was beating for, like, the snake had got a hold of him, and
I'd need a big bonus paycheck for that one. Jesus Christ. I think we lost out on a bunch of good years of him as a heel because he became such a big baby face. Because when he became a heel and then, you know, the snake did Savage, remember when he slapped, he was like the first one to slap Elizabeth in the face and,
mm-hmm.
in a feud with Savage? It was some awesome stuff.
Yeah, and then speaking of, like, you know, what wasn't as awesome as that is when he had, I think he had the Ultimate Warrior open a box and then he got bit a bunch of times in the face.
Yeah, because he's wanting Jake to teach him how to deal with the darkness of the Undertaker. So he's making, you remember he buried him alive or something like that? In
yeah.
And then he put him in the room with the snakes and the Cobra bit him and, but they had the anti-venom, so they saved his life. But that was when he turned heel, and Jake and Undertaker were like teaming a little bit before Undertaker turned babyface the next year.
Yeah. Well, who wants to pick the next animal?
I remember when that Halloween Havoc, when Jake was supposed to, the snake was supposed to bite him on the face, and, like, you could see him putting the snake up against his face, and he takes the snake off because the snake's not biting, he looks at the snake, and then he places it right back on there, right in the camera. It was horrible.
Oh. Sure, go ahead and go next.
Matilda, I think it would be one of the next famous ones.
Yeah. Definitely Matilda.
The British Bulldog.
That poor Bulldog. He basically, to entertain themselves, the Dynamite Kid and Davy Boy Smith would shoot him full of steroids.
Yeah. That was messed up.
And then, like, Nikolai Volkov would give her a bowl of water right before a match in the rib. Took a big old piss in the ring, and then you guys, like, banned from an arena.
Yeah.
I always loved how she was well trained, because when she's like they'd be going against the Hart Foundation, she'd grab Jimmy Hart's megaphone, like bite the megaphone, try to take it away from him or something like that. I always thought that was pretty funny.
I always thought it was funny too when they would, like, sink her on another tag team, and then the next thing you know, Davy Boy Smith is, you know, running in front of the dog and dragging it behind.
Yeah, picking it up and just falling out.
The dog's like, I'm not feeling it tonight. No.
I remember the funniest was the at WrestleMania 3 when they were doing they did the six man with the Hart Foundation, Danny Davis against the Bulldog and Tito Santana. And before this, they had Jesse Ventura come down there to introduce him to the crowd, and so he leaves and he gets back up on the cart and they're doing the ring introductions, and then the camera pans back to the cart that he was on, and he's got this bulldog in his, he looks appalled that he has to carry this fat ass bulldog. Looks like he's carrying a pig. Which is like one of the best visuals. Awesome.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome.
He used to drag that dog around the loop. I mean, I remember going to watch the house shows in the Tacoma Dome, and that stupid dog would be getting drugged through Tacoma.
I remember when the Islanders kidnapped her. Dog nap. And then they finally got her back, and she said she wasn't eating. She lost a lot of weight, which is probably the best thing for the dog, being kidnapped. Probably lose a little bit of weight.
Right, well, I mean, she lost the muscle mass because she wasn't on the DECA.
I know. I heard, yeah, I remember reading the Observer, Dave Meltzer said she's smaller.
I can't believe that made the Observer. Jesus Christ.
It did, and I was fucking with you. I just like when Dave told me, he's looking a little bit soft this week. He's probably off the cycle or something like that. Just by looking at a guy.
And then it
Bobby
could have turned out worse.
They had the big six-man to WrestleMania with the Islanders, Bobby Heenan, against the Bulldogs and Coco Beware. And Bobby Heenan had the dog trainer's outfit.
Mm-hmm.
Looked like he was wrapped up in a burlap sack or something.
Well, what's funny is Matilda always looked like she was pretty docile for the most part, but she did go after Heenan that one time. I wonder how they did that.
And her being kidnapped, it could have been a lot worse because we all remember what happened to Al Snow's dog.
Pepper steak.
Yeah, Pepper.
Yeah.
He ended up being Stroganoff.
What a horrible storyline that was. And this is a
you
horrible
don't say.
Yeah, basically the Al Snow... What, why the hell did Al Snow... Well, basically I guess he got dog-napped. He went to go get the dog. The big boss man
boss
gave
man
him dinner, and dinner turned out to be the dog.
Yeah, he
right.
tossed man to cook Pepper, and when Al was eating steak, he said, how's Pepper taste?
Yeah.
And this is a Kennel from Hell match.
Right.
A
was that a Hell in a Cell? Was that a Hell in a Cell, or was it different?
It was a cage match with a Hell in a Cell over the regular blue cage.
And there was
the
dogs running
the blue cage.
In the middle.
It's the stupidest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, it was no good.
Why would you ruin a Hell in a Cell match with the fucking shitty-ass blue cage? I hated that blue cage.
No idea.
Well, then to improve upon that, they did the Punjabi prison, which is basically the Hell in a Cell with some bamboo.
Yeah, let's put a guy who's over 7 foot tall and 400 or 500 pounds, and let's have him bounce around bamboo. That sounds safe. Of course,
he
wasn't
even
in
that
match, wasn't he?
Yeah. Big Show took his spot, right?
Didn't he have like elevated liver enzymes?
Yeah.
Yes, he did. He was on the juice.
Mr. Anderson just made his return, and he went after Bully Ray.
Oh, thank you.
Good That'll save TNA.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sure.
Speaking of other things off our topic, I want to warn everybody, don't ever tell someone, a girl, she has a muffin top on Twitter, or you will get a lot of hate. You want to read a couple more? You want to hear a couple more? I got Navaya, who's actually pretty hot, telling me, who are you calling fat, you Pillsbury Doughboy mother F star 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 star? And then I got Sassy Steffi telling me, fuck you, I'm not making excuses to you, but I've had a rough year and you can kiss my muffin top ass.
Ah, Ed, always making friends.
Playing
perhaps
the heck
you could
like Kurt Angle does.
Hey, Kurt Angle retweeted last week's plug for our show on Twitter.
Did he really?
What?
Yeah, he did, actually. I freaked out. I couldn't believe it. Because I tagged, I put, you know, I, you know, we're talking about the life into the career and stuff of at Kurt Angle, and then he retweeted it. So I was like, wow, that's cool.
It's all for nothing. He did climb the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Feel like we wasted a show. He didn't keep the watch. I'm surprised they didn't get my ham or something.
Didn't they give Sonny a turkey?
They gave Sonny a ham when Chris Candido died.
Yeah.
I shouldn't laugh.
Oh, jeez.
My God. Speaking of Sonny, she's...
Oh, here we go.
She had already unfriended me on Facebook, and now yesterday, was it yesterday or the day before, she blocked me on Twitter.
Well, she made this post the other day about her cervical cancer is back, and I don't know. You can't.
Well, she
the girl credible.
Yeah.
No, I can't.
Yeah.
I
well, she made the post. Okay, here's why everyone went crazy and gave her a hard time, and then she went crazy because basically she posted about her cancer is back, and you know she's got to do all this stuff. And then within an hour, she's posting her Amazon wish list and also her gimmick where she, if you call her, you can call this number and talk to her for $4 a minute. We should actually all pitch in and talk to her for like an hour. It'd be like $2.40, and you guys could pay $100 each, and I'll pay the $40, and then we can interview Sunny and get the real story about.
Have at it. I won't be no part of it.
But yeah, I mean, how do you expect not to get people to get pissed off at you and talk shit to you when, on one hand, you're posting about, oh my God, my life is in danger, and on the other hand, hey, call me, I'll talk to you for 4 minutes for $4 a minute. You know what I mean? She's her own worst enemy.
Well,
she brings all of that on herself as far as, like, the hate and the bashing. You know what I mean? She brings that on herself.
Well, it was just, like, a couple of weeks ago. Like, she put out that, oh, she's adopting a child or something, or she got mugged, and she said, well, I just wanted to see if the wrestling sites would report it. And, well, you're the one that's fucking saying it. Of course they're going to report the damn thing. And so, and then she came out and said, well, she was just kidding. I mean, what do you think people are going to, after that, when you're saying some more stuff on Twitter like that, you know?
And then when she went on her big rant, because she went on this really big rant, she had to use some Twitter app where she could write like this whole giant paragraph, and you know you can only use it a little bit. But basically, she's telling all these people all this shit, and you know, like she's trying to like she's making it sound like yes, I can ask for this stuff because I help people all the time, and I give my money to charities and this and that, and it's like, well, first off, you're not supposed to take you're basically taking credit for being charitable, which is right there. People are just going to give you a hard time when they see you do that because, you know, people feel you should be charitable and not have to brag about it. And then, I kind of lost track of where I was going, but basically she just, like I say, she brings stuff on herself. The way she responds to people, oh, at the very end, she put, in the websites, you have my permission to post this one. It's like, okay, a couple of months ago, you're mad because the websites were posting stuff, and now you're giving them your permission to post this one. I mean, it's just like when she went on, you know, she goes on RF video shoots and she tells all this stuff, and then she goes on Kayfabe or one of the other ones and says, oh, I lied every time I was on RF. You know what I mean?
And they still have her back.
Yeah. I mean, RF took a picture in the bed with her where she's, you know, squeezing his nipple. Oh, man, I mean, it's just...
Is it a conversion or something?
No. I don't know.
But, yeah, it's like, Ed, if you tell me something, I don't know, say you got arrested for, or like, a DWI or something, and you tell this to me, I tell somebody else, turns out you were messing with me. Not true. I'm not the fool for telling somebody... You know, you're the one telling me this, so, you know?
Yeah. I gotcha.
So stupid. What was the next
one? Okay. Back on topic. We're a half hour in. We've got two of them out. It's okay. I'm going to the next most popular one, I think. It's got to be Frankie. Brought to the ring by one Coco Beware.
Yep.
I mean, if I'm the only one on this phone that ever got up in a crowd and did the bird, Frankie.
I still don't ever did that.
I did the bird at a Mid-South show when Coco was
there. You go. So he had
a Mid-South show?
Huh?
At a Mid-South show?
Yeah, Mid-South in 86.
He had a bird on the mid. Oh, okay.
No, I said he did the bird.
Oh, he did the bird. Okay.
You know, have you heard? It's bird.
That's too bad they
but,
couldn't have. You know.
The thing I have a question because okay, he came to the ring, dancing, doing the bird. Some of those arenas were long walks to the ring. Some of them stadiums were very long. Why did this bird never try and fly away? Do they like clip their wings or something?
More than likely.
Very well trained.
That bird must have been trained because he was, like I said, Coco would be dancing like a madman and that thing just stayed there.
Maybe he was tied to his finger on his hand. Couldn't get away.
I remember that when they did the thing on like one of the Clash of the Champions in what was it? And the NWO was in the ring and they were calling out Sting, and then the lights went off, and then all of a sudden this crow is on the top rope, and you can clearly see it's tied to the rope.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to get away, but it's tied to the rope and can't go nowhere. Mr. Anderson's being arrested.
Awesome. Now, was that the same? Was that the same crow that was keeping an eye on Bischoff?
Yeah.
In the TNA. It was the same.
TNA. Okay. I don't know if it was the same one. I know Frankie's adding a house fire. I think it was house burned down or something.
Oh yeah, that's right. I remember that.
Yeah, it was a fake Frankie at the Hall of Fame in Houston, and
that was one.
Not only that, he took a shit on the notes. I mean, you talk about an animal going into business for himself. Frankie had his own agenda. I think in one appearance he had a stuffed Frankie on his shoulder.
Nobody ever tried to kidnap Frankie, right? I mean, there had to have been somebody.
I'm surprised they never, like, kidnapped them and had, like, the Bushwhackers or Samoans, like, eat the turkey legs and make it look like it was Frankie.
Birds are weird. Nobody wants to fool with them.
True. Because birds
are unpredictable. The only time I fool with birds is after I shoot them.
It's, like, much better than that. You gotta, or if they're not dead, you know, you gotta grab them by that neck and you do the big old twist.
Yep. That's what we do down south when we go hunting.
Yeah, I've been pheasant hunting a time or two.
If it ain't dead, you grab it by the neck and you do that big twist, rip the head off.
And if you're from San Antonio, Texas, and you only wound a bird, you take off running, and you jump on it, and you crush it with your whole body like Shawn Michaels did on his hunting show.
I must have missed that episode.
Yeah, he chased after one, and he just jumped on it and crushed it.
Mm-mm-mm. All right, Edward, you're up.
Remember when Jay get in trouble with the snake over in England, like he was not feeding it or something? And the animal people took the snake from him.
Yeah, I kind of remember something like that. I don't remember what the whole story, but it was something where, this is when Jake was, you know, totally at his douchebaggery worst, you know. And, there was something like that. I don't remember. I don't know. I mean, it's not expensive. You only got to feed them, like, one rat a week or something.
I think it's a month.
To me, having a snake, that'd be the best part of having a snake. What do you mean, a rat?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, I had a buddy who had a python when I was in high school. And he would, like take the thing out, and we used to, you know, go doing stupid teenage boy stuff, you know, cruising around looking for girls, you know. And he took the snake with him one time, and it was kind of a, you know, hey, girls, you want to see my snake? And, everything was fine. Took it out and bathed it one time, and because apparently they need baths, and then took it out again a couple weeks later, and he went to go put it back, and the stupid snake jumped up and latched onto his forearm, python, and wouldn't let go. And he hit it in the head, and it finally let go, and the only thing he could figure is the snake wanted his bath. So they're stupid animals. They, you know, they're unpredictable.
We got these out here in Texas, we get these pro bass shops or, like, these big outdoor places, you know, and they got the biggest rattlesnake I've ever seen in my life in, like, a cage out here. It's creepy.
There's
I won't go too close to it. It's so big. Freaks the shit out of me.
Well, there's this place right out here, right outside San Antonio. It's called the Snake Farm. And they got all kinds of shit. And they got these, like, rattlesnake pits. Or it's like this pit. And there's, like, fucking, I don't know how many, but it's like you hear all those rattlings, and it's like it's pretty unnerving, dude.
Yeah, and I think in Sweetwater, Texas, they do, like, a rattlesnake roundup every year or something.
That's like the stupidest thing I ever heard. I'm going to go looking for a creature that can be sneaky and bite me and kill me.
Hey, you're asking for when you're dealing with snakes, so. I see a small snake and I get creeped out.
Right.
What was the next animal, Ed, that you were talking about?
Yeah.
Well, since I just mentioned the Snake Farm, which also has a, like, one of their big attractions that they have a buffalo, I'm going to kind of stick with that subject and go with El Torito. And he may be a man in a buffalo costume, but it's an awesome gimmick. And I love the fact that one of his gimmicks is that he wants to rape Brene Young.
When did this happen?
On one of the pre-shows before the last pay-per-view.
What?
Yeah, she was doing her backstage thing, and the bull came, and the bull wanted to molest her and fuck her, and she could barely get away from him.
I'm not bullshitting you.
This happened.
Just the other night, I seen him go after Viv Coulter's pecker.
He went after his pecker
that
and his
funny.
Ass.
That was funny. And then he brought out Shoe Baby. The old the whip from he was in Memphis, called his Shoe Baby.
You know, it really sucks that this guy isn't going to have anybody to work. I mean, it's not like he's going to be working Hornswoggle. But
dude, he's
going
to be working six mans against the three man band.
Like, I need to see that match again.
I've seen it like three times already.
Oh, I'm sure you're going to keep seeing it.
I swear I've seen that match every week since they debuted.
Yeah.
My God.
Yeah, I think it's, like I said, I think it's coming up again on Friday.
Torito comes from good stock because he's his dad's mentor and his uncle is PM News. So.
Mantor.
You know PM News is his brother, Mantor.
Who was Mantar? Didn't he come up with, like, thing in the Ultimate Warrior?
No.
Those dudes had nice bodies.
Oh.
Now those
what was his name? Built. Steve DeSalvo or something?
You're thinking the Minotaur.
Oh, the Minotaur, okay.
Yeah. Who had, a one-week run in WCW and was never heard from again.
Yeah.
Well, to be fair, there was a lot of that in WCW.
Yeah,
El Torito is actually the reason I brought this topic up. Even listening to my local radio morning show that I listen to every morning while I'm at work, they brought it up on Tuesday, and or maybe it was last week. It doesn't matter, but they actually talked about it. And you go to their website, and sure enough, they got all these El Torito videos up, and he's getting over. He's my son is in love with the guy. Every time he's on the TV, he wants to make sure he's right there. So,
I hope for your son's sake that Los Matadors never have to wrestle the Wyatt family.
That's true. Yeah, he hates those Wyatts.
I want to see whoever does that awesome clothesline, give it to El Torito. I can't tell who's doing
like,
the Wyatt family.
It was Luke Harper.
Luke Harper. Is he the one with the red beard, or he's the other one, the one with the dark beard?
The dark-haired one did it. Yeah.
Okay.
The one that knows how to wrestle.
He's been on the show.
He shaved his beard. his goatee. Clean shaven, huh? Look weird.
Well, he doesn't have to dye it now.
The thing is, Luke Harper, he could actually work with El Torito because he's used to, you know, he lived in Chicago, Chikara for years, wrestling all these little luchador dudes, and he knows how to work, so he could actually base and take bumps for fucking El Torito, even though he's like almost 7 feet tall.
Yeah, Brody Lee was good. Luke Harper is decent. Eric Rowan, not so much.
Yeah, well, at least he's big. He's got that going for him. He's got that cool gold head mask or whatever.
Sure. All right, go ahead, Couture.
We're talking about mascot. I guess you could say this mascot slash imaginary friend, Alex with Rick Steiner.
I knew you were going to bring that one up sooner or later.
Alex was bad.
Yeah, for a while, Rick Steiner talked to his hand. Basically, he made a face on his hand and talked to his hand.
That's right.
And the hand was probably smarter than him.
That was when they were doing a turn with, he was in the varsity club, and they were, Kevin Sullivan and Mike Rotunda were fucking yelling at him and giving him shit every week. And that was some funny TV now. Rick Steiner, that was back then. He was a funny son of a bitch when he was doing that that Village Idiot gimmick that he was doing. And he was over, too. He was like one of the most popular people in business at the time when they were doing all this stuff. And
right.
I always liked him. He always got that, kind of like that mentally handicapped gimmick over, because he was kind of stupid, but in the ring he was badass and just beat the piss out of anybody.
When he was doing that challenged gimmick, I'll say, the payoff to him and Nancy Benoit, or Nancy Sullivan at the time, was like the greatest thing I had ever seen. You know, she was showed up in pigtails, and she was, you know, had a moo-moo on or whatever, and then they go out on a date, and he opens up the door, and she's standing there in patent leather and spiked heels, and I'm like, holy crap, look at that.
And Jim Ross is giving him a pep talk before the date, like he's about to be putting a football game. He says, "You got, is this what you're wearing?" He said, "This is my best shirt." He's wearing like sleeveless T-shirt.
Yep.
He says, "You gonna have a little dinner?" And said, "Yeah, I'm having it brought in." "Oh, you're having it catered?" "Yeah." We'll order a pizza." And he said, "Okay." And, but I got a Supreme, you know. I went all the way. I got the works, you know, only the best. And then they go to the door, and he's shy, and Jim Ross knocks on the door, and she opens the door and
looks smoking hot.
There's a freeze frame of him and Rick Steiner's face.
Yep.
I can't explain it. In fact, I'm going to look for this picture online just so I can post it. This picture was so awesome.
Yeah. And she pulls him in and slams the door. It's phenomenal. challenged Rick Steiner. That was some good stuff.
Whatever happened to the talking hand? Did he just stop talking to it, or?
Well, he got a girlfriend. He didn't need his hand anymore.
That's a good one.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm here all week. Speaking of people that were challenged or kind of lost their mind, in ECW there was this guy named Terry Saturn, and he was amazingly talented, and I remember watching him and Cronus cut a promo one time, and I don't know exactly what had happened, but he's just screaming and talking about the gangsters, and his blood pressure gets so high and he gets so intense that for whatever reason the cut that was on his head from probably the night before opens up and he starts bleeding a gusher while cutting the promo. It's insanely intense. And he goes to WCW, and that doesn't work out. So he ends up in the WWE, and they give him a mop. And he calls it Moppy. carried a mop to the ring.
Yeah, it was kind of like a takeoff on one we'll get to in a minute that I'll bring up. But, yeah, basically, he basically was doing the Rick Steiner gimmick, but instead of talking to his hand, he had a mop named Moppy, who he loved. And Moppy ended up getting thrown in the wood chipper by I forgot who. But,
I think it was Raven. Maybe it might have been Raven.
Yeah, I think it might have been Raven. But, so he was, like, all happy when he had his mop. And, they always gave Saturn some weird gimmicks that he actually kind of made work, you know. I mean, you know, some of the stuff with Moppy was funny, you know, when he wore the dress in WCW, he made that work. And he was always a good worker. He was always a good worker. I remember when he was, like, he vanished off the face of the earth for, like, years, and no one knew if he was alive or dead until he finally turned up. But
he was, like, homeless for a while.
Yeah.
And I think he popped up on Facebook. Somebody saw a picture of him on Facebook or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, weird. Weird.
I found this Rick Steiner picture, and I am about to... I actually had it on my computer for some reason. I guess I was so impressed. So I'm going to attempt to put it on my phone, and then I'm going to send it to you guys on Facebook.
Okay. Sounds good.
Cool.
Well, you're up, young man.
Well, Moppy was actually a gimmick infringement from a couple years earlier when Chavo Guerrero, who debuted in WCW, and he was pretty good for being pretty new, but nothing too special. And then he got into a feud with his Uncle Eddie, and they feuded, and then something happened during their feud that Chavo Guerrero went absolutely batshit insane. And I remember the one match they had that was awesome, where he was just going crazy, and Eddie was the one freaking out. And then not too long after, he came out with one of those things that you bought when you were, like, in the 50s or 60s, 70s, where it's like a broomstick with the mop thing cut off or the broom cut off, and it's got a horse's head on top. And when you were a little kid, you would act like you were riding a horse. And, so Chavo came out with one of those. And and I thought that was one of the best things that was on WCW. Chavo Guerrero and Pepe and the Disco Inferno and Alex Wright's dance-off, to me, were the most entertaining things on WCW at the time. And Pepe was awesome. Crazy Chavo was awesome. That was the best thing he'd ever done. He's never done anything better. I wish he could kind of do something like that again, because he was awesome when he was crazy.
It was Norman Smiley threw it in the wood chipper.
Yeah, Norman Smiley wasn't—he was being an asshole that day and killed Pepe, and I was very sad.
Well, they gave him a push. I don't know. Norman Smiley—he's horrible.
What are you talking? When he was the hardcore champion, that was some awesome shit. When he'd be screaming. he was awesome. I don't know what you're talking about.
Contreras,
I just mean wouldn't they have him like in, this was before all the hardcore stuff. They'd have him feuding like with, what'd they have him feuding with, like Perry Saturn or some stupid shit like that, just boring as hell. God, he's terrible. And they did that big wiggle that somebody, I don't know why that got over. That was stupid too.
It was awesome.
Yeah, well.
It was almost as good as Lance Storm's Running Man.
As Lance Storm's what?
Running Man. Isn't that what the dance he did?
I don't know.
That was, in fact, the dance he did, yes.
Yeah. Not much of Lance's stuff is memorable.
Oh.
Such a tripod gimmick. That was, I'll never forget that one.
That said you like Vince Cox.
No, I do not like Vince Cox.
He sure does.
But Lance walking around trying to act like he had a big cock was very funny.
You're weird.
Okay, Katrina, you're up, bud.
I go back to Rick Steiner. He had a dog named Spike. I can't remember what kind it was. I think it was like a white lab or something.
Mm-hmm.
And he brought it to the ring with him. And the funniest thing, they're still in that studio, that TBS studio. and the TBS studio, and Jim Cornette was doing commentary, and Steiner just walks up to Cornette and just dumps the dog in his arms. He hold the dog, I gotta go wrestle. Cornette's got this gas look on his face. It's, he can't believe this dog has just been dumped in his arms. He didn't know what to do. He probably used the poodles at Mama Cornette's house. This is not a poodle.
I barely remember that. But speaking of white dogs, let's talk about when what the fuck were they called? It was the two French Canadians, Love Resistance,
right?
When they brought out Fifi.
And
1 week
brutal.
Fifi would be white, and 1 week Fifi would be black, and you just had one of those giant poodles with a haircut, and that was actually pretty funny.
They didn't last a very long time, as I remember. I mean, a couple months, maybe? The most?
Yeah.
I try not to remember Love Resistance.
They're all right. I mean, one of them got his job by being a Pat Patterson's special friend, but, you know,
and
they're okay.
One of them almost got killed by
Bob Holly.
Speaking of that Bob Holly incident, okay, basically, what was his name?
Sylvain, or not? Maybe
not
Rene
Sylvain,
Dupree.
It was the other one.
Rene Dupree.
Yeah, Rene Dupree, basically, he borrowed Bob Holly's rental car and wrecked his rental car or did something to the rental car.
Thank you.
And then they had a match on SmackDown, and Bob Holly fucking gave him a receipt, basically the whole match was a receipt. And if I'm not mistaken, didn't fucking Dupree just jump out of the ring and run away? A la Lex Luger against Bruiser Brody in the cage?
Got me on that one. It's the first I heard of it.
Well, Couture, you're the one with this awesome memory.
Yes.
Do you remember that?
Beat up. I remember him getting beat up. That's about it.
Instead of getting pinned, didn't he, like, actually take off and run to the back?
I don't know. Oh. I don't remember.
I don't remember the story. I'm sure it wasn't on TV. So, who knows?
No, it was on TV. I saw it.
No, it wasn't on TV. It's a house show.
There you go.
No, I saw it on TV.
You're full of shit.
I'm not full of shit. I'm pretty sure I remember Bob Holly kicking his ass and him running away from him on TV.
Were you herbally medicated?
I'm always herbally
medicated. You're wrong. I hate to break it to you, but being seriously, you're wrong. Is that a house show?
You say
okay.
So.
I do say so. When I'm right, I'm right, and I'm always right, so.
It's true.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Don't help me.
All right, gentlemen, back to your corners. Let's talk about Hornswoggle. This little guy has been everywhere. I've never seen a guy be with so many different factions and last as long as he has.
Who's he been with?
Well, he was with DX for a while.
He was with Finley. He's been with Kali, Santino,
Vince.
I forget one of the when he first started coming out. You know, he'd like kind of hide under the ring. And I remember one time he kind of peered out, and JBL was doing commentary, and he started throwing JBL Guinness bottles of Guinness beer, and then him and JBL were buddies. I remember that.
Him and Finley were phenomenal together. he would get out from under the ring, and Finley would basically kick him back under the ring. Just as hard as he could, he would kick him, and he would fly back under the ring. And it was just the weirdest thing.
Yeah.
Apparently not just the little man can work snug.
Yeah. Now, you have brought up Mr. Anderson, and who can forget when Mr. Anderson was supposed to be with Mr. Kennedy, and he was going to be Vince's long-lost son, and then he pissed everybody off. I forgot what he did, so they made Hornswoggle Vince McMahon's son for a few months, and that was pretty funny.
Vince was absolutely disgusted that that could have escaped from his loins. So bothered by that little person.
I also remember the Royal Rumble where for the first half of the Royal Rumble they did a gimmick where CM Punk and the Nexus were running wild throughout the majority of the Rumble until finally Cena came in and got rid of all the Nexus. And then Hornswoggle came in, so then it was John Cena and Hornswoggle teamed up, and they started running roughshod over everybody, including Hornswoggle giving an F U to Tyson Kidd, which looked incredible. And that was an awesome Royal Rumble.
Yeah, and then
I blame Chris Benoit for the whole Hornswoggle storyline.
How so?
Well, he killed his family, so they had to bring Vince back from the dead. After he blowed up in the limo.
Oh, okay. Well, I got you.
And they changed the storyline to having a long-lost son.
That's right. Amazing how things work out, isn't it?
Yep.
He was awful funny when he's in DX's little helmet and, you know, I saw that guy's backside more than I saw Shawn Michaels in the Attitude Era.
You remember when they had what the fuck did they have? But they basically, Sean and Hunter had to go to like the Little People universe, and then when they
little
were like,
sports.
Yeah, Little People
under
sports,
the ring.
Under the ring, and then Sean's like trying to get out, and he's all there. Little hands are all over me.
Little fingers. Ooh.
You remember when he painted the hole on the wall and went through it, and Carlito like ran into the wall?
That was awesome. That was awesome.
That was stupid.
That was awesome. My goodness. It's amazing how long he's been around, though. I mean, he was on TV this week. It's nuts.
I remember like when he first came on, I saw a picture on the interview. On the internet where it's him and I guess his girlfriend. He actually has a really hot-ass girlfriend, or had one at the time.
You don't say. Yeah, that figures. He's a worker. All right, who's up?
Why don't you go, Craig?
I just didn't.
Oh, okay. Well, if we're going to talk midgets, let's talk about the greatest midget of all time, and that's Midget Blue Monkey.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, you never heard of Midget Blue Monkey. His real name is I always fuck it up even though I'm Mexican.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even going to try. But basically, you have this little midget wearing a monkey outfit, like a monkey costume that's blue, basically. And he comes out with he would come out with all the faces at CMLL in Mexico, and even though he's probably like 60, 70 years old, they would beat the shit out of him, including one time where he took a baseball slide where he was standing on the apron, and Ultimo Girl gave him a baseball slide, and he did a shooting star press into Shocker into the announce table, and it's one of the greatest visuals you'll ever see. So if you've never seen Midget Blue Monkey, you got to go on YouTube and find his clip, because it'll blow your mind. El Comito, I think is his name. Something like that. But anyway, Craig, your thoughts? Oh.
Craig?
I'm here. I'm sorry. I had to take care of a small problem. I am.
Oh, your thoughts on Midget Blue Monkey?
Midget Blue Monkey. The only thing I've really seen him do, and I don't even know what he is supposed to be. I don't watch Lucha a whole lot. I just see him in the corner. Does he come out with anybody, or is he just like the mascot of a promotion? Or
he would come out with pretty much all the baby faces, or all the major baby faces.
And really the only thing I've ever seen him do, if you go on YouTube, and some guy delivers a dropkick to this guy, and he takes the worst fall I've ever seen in my life. It's insane. He gets tossed around. The bump that he took when I think the guy hit like a sliding dropkick, and the thing just flies out of the ring and up against the barricade. It was absolutely insane.
Yeah, well, the shooting star press, basically. Also, I remember one time some bad guys, they brought their own mascot, and it was like a big-ass, well, it was a midget, but he was way bigger than the midget blue monkey, and he was like a parrot or like a whatever the bird from the cereal is, toucan or whatever. Anyway, so
toucan. There
was one week where they beat the shit out of midget blue monkey, and then next week midget blue monkey beat the shit out of the parrot, and it was awesome. And what's funny is, like I said, Midget Blue Monkey's like in his late 60s and 70s. I mean, he's actually an old dude. And he still gets in there and takes all those crazy bumps. It's kind of insane.
Yeah, that is silly. Sure.
Brother.
Well, going back to Snake, here's one... from out of Memphis, and they had Jonathan Boyd had his Burmese python, and he was feuding with Jeff Jarrett, and they were doing this match, and I can't remember exactly what the rules of the match were, but if your opponent like cheated or something, he had to go in this casket with the Burmese python, and while they were in the casket, they would like dig their arm or their leg, so it looked like he got bit when they came out.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
That's pretty. I'm not getting a box with no snake, though. Fuck that.
Sure. I remember getting some of those FMW ridiculous hardcore garbage wrestling from Japan. It might have been IWA now that I think about it, but there was one tape that had there was boxes of snakes outside of the ring, and these idiots would, you know, gig and cut themselves up and garbage, and then fall into a box of snakes. Yep, that happened.
I remember reading about a match where they had the outside the ring, they had the pits of, like, HIV-infected needles.
Mm. Yeah, that's good.
What?
I don't think they were real, though.
Probably.
I heard of some kind of match like that.
Mm.
Wait, are you talking about FMW or CZW or what company?
I'm talking about some stupid wrestling in general. Someone of stupid hardcore companies, and they had like HIV infected needles.
Mm.
Remember one
if
had
it was
like
some random indie show, I can almost imagine them being actually legit HIV needles, you know what I mean? But cause there's some dumb motherfuckers out there. But yeah, that's stupid.
They would have like mouse traps. They set all the mouse traps. I remember seeing that.
I have a tape of IWA Japan where it's Headhunter A versus Headhunter B, and on the outside of the ring there are stacks of bricks, but then the bricks are wrapped in barbed wire. So during the match, Headhunter A or B threw a brick at the other one, and it stuck.
I feel bad because I was interested in any of this shit back when I was in the mid-90s. It's just stupid.
Yeah, that is stupid. That is stupid.
Yeah.
I remember the C4, when is the Mick Foley, Terry Funk match where the bombs go off and there's like a sparkler went...
King of the Deathmatch Tournament.
No, that was something else, because the King of the Deathmatch, those one actually went off, because I never forget on Foley's book where he says they take him and Leatherface and Terry Funk out to the field, and they're going to demonstrate the exploding barbed wire thing. It's like a flat board with barbed wire on one side and then C4 explosives on the other side, and they blow this thing up, and Mick Foley and Leatherface are just like, can't believe what the fuck is going on, and Terry Funk starts to talk, and they're like, oh, thank God, Terry's going to save us, and Terry Funk says, oh, that looks good, but you need to put some more C4 in there. And Mick Foley and Leatherface were like, oh, my God. And,
yeah, they did some stupid stuff.
Yeah.
I tried to watch stuff like that King of the Deathmatch stuff. That shit's horrible.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nothing. Like, go and check out, like, just type into YouTube Onita and see what comes up.
You know, I was watching, he was on Memphis like in 1980. I saw him the other day. He was wrestling.
He was
there.
In that fucking food stand fucking brawl with Ricky Morton and Eddie Gilbert.
Yeah, he was doing Masafuchi against Ricky Morton and Eddie Gilbert in the. It was the second concession stand brawl because the first one, I think, was Bill Dundee and Jerry Lawler against Wayne Ferris and Larry Latham. That was the first one that they did, so.
The version I saw, the video quality is real, really crappy. And when you do see what's going on, that was one hell of a fucking brawl between the four of them. But to kind of change the topic into a more lighter note compared to what we were just talking about with the death matches, and this is before our time, but Couture, I'm sure you've heard the stories about Dick Murdoch and Dusty Rhodes actually had a horse that they would go to the bars with after some of the shows when they were like the Outlaws.
I don't recall that.
Apparently somehow Dusty Rhodes and Dick Murdoch had a horse or a pony or something, and they would take it out to the bars after the matches, and they kept it at wherever their hotel where they were staying and stuff. And I can only imagine what that room looked like after Rhodes and Murdoch and the horse checked out.
Oh,
and I could
gosh.
See Dick Murdoch doing something like that because he was kind of crazy.
I remember when Baby Doll rode off on Floyd the horse.
Yeah, whose horse was it? Wasn't that like
Nelson Royal's?
Oh no! Oh yeah, Nelson Royal. Yeah, the light heavyweight champion. Yeah, like they did the thing where what was it? Dusty won Baby Doll from Telly. And they were at the Nelson Royals ranch, and she's talking about how she can ride horses, so they let her ride the horse, and she just fucking takes off.
Yep. She rode off on Floyd, and I don't think they ever got Floyd back. And then she went to Hawaii. She sold Dusty's credit cards and went to Hawaii with credit cards for a week, and then Dusty got the bill because she's going to spend $5,000 in Hawaii on champagne and hotel room and other stuff. So
it was like it was funny because it was like they did the when David Von Erich won, you know, Jimmy Garvin and Sunshine to be his valets. He actually made them do work. You know, it's like they had to deal with stuff. Dusty wins Baby Doll and he's got to pay $5,000 in credit cards. He's got to buy Nelson Royal a new horse. It like totally didn't work. Well, it did work out for him in the end because he was banging Baby Doll by the end of it. But for a while there. He was getting the raw end of the deal on that one.
Mm-hmm.
I just actually just thought of one. And he was a truck driver for WCW, and Jericho saw him hanging out backstage and said, "You're going to be my bodyguard," and he was Ralphus.
They were like the greatest couple ever, dude. Ralphus, he was basically an old man, bald,
yes,
no teeth. Wore a
right.
cut-off shirt with a big belly.
Or something. Were you on the ring crew or something?
Yeah. And then he got a big head after he became Jericho's bodyguard. He got a big head and thought he was a star.
Yeah. He's a big, fat guy, and he wore a half shirt to the ring. And it basically said security on the back and Jericho-holic and all this. And he brought this weird kind of energy when Jericho was out there. He didn't have to do anything because Jericho did all the talking for him, and it was just, it's tremendous.
I just remember they'd be walking through the ring, and the fans would be giving Jericho shit, so Jericho would point at a fan and start talking shit, and he'd tell Ralph this, and he'd point at the fan, and Ralph would step up, and he'd just put his finger up and just wave his finger like, no.
I remember for like, it was like 1 week or two, they had another guy with them. He was just like, he had a beard, and he was not as fat as Ralph's, but he's a fat guy, and he had a beard and a mullet. He just had a T-shirt that said Jericho Security Ninja on it.
Now, did Ralphus end up with the, the boy band thing?
I think he did. Tank Abbott.
Tank Abbott. I think Ralphus did as well.
I think everybody stopped doing stuff with Ralph because he got a big head and thought he figures in the company or something.
Yeah.
That's tremendous. That is absolutely tremendous. Yeah, I remember reading in Jericho's book, he was just like one of the truck drivers that drove the set around, and he wasn't doing anything, so Jericho put a security guard shirt on him and just started taking him to the ring. Phenomenal. All right. Now, Katrina, you got a bunch of these on the explanation for what our topic was about tonight. There's some of these that I don't know what it is.
Well, one of them is just being an asshole.
That's true.
Wait.
Well, who is Ralph the Rabbit?
That was Dave Sullivan. You know, Evad Sullivan, that was his rabbit.
Yeah.
And he was feuding with the Big Bubba, and Big Bubba was allergic, and he started itching when the rabbit was around, and he got schoolboyed and lost the match.
Okay.
Hey, Craig, did you know Brian when he had all the little rabbits?
No.
Okay.
Brian was still living with his mother and father when I first met him, but they were living in a condo, basically, and I don't think they were allowed to have rabbits. Be my guess. Jeez, I was like...
Bob Holly attacked Rene Dupree at a Sunday night house show in Syracuse, New York.
I bet you've been looking at since I brought it up, you asshole.
Maybe. Yeah. Okay, here's
speaking of accurate information. Okay. Well, speaking of the comment that you made where you're being an asshole, that actually does kind of remind me of another animal story involving the Von Erichs, and that is that one of the shows they went to, they were basically kind of almost in a barn when they would change or whatever, and there was a cat that just, like, lived there or hung out there, and, you know, would just walk around, and one day Kevin Von Erich is all pilled out or whatever, and he grabbed one of those spinning chainsaw blades flings it like a ninja star and killed the poor little cat.
Oh, jeez.
While everyone is standing there in shock and like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah, I heard, I think Jack Victory and our Fantastics were there and talked about that.
Yeah. Mm. And then speaking of animals in World Class and Mid-South, who can ever forget Buddy Roberts' dead possum that they put in his suitcase?
Okay.
And he opened it up in the dressing room, and everyone started hacking and throwing up because of how smelly and decayed it was.
Nice.
And
apparently, Buddy Roberts is always smelling and decayed, so it's kind of hard to notice for him to notice something.
Well, they said he put on his ring gear after he dumped out the possum.
Well, ring gear does get pretty ripe.
Yeah, but ring gear in a suitcase with a dead possum, I mean.
Yeah, who would know the difference?
Kerry Von Erich's dog dying led to one of the worst Ric Flair title matches of all time, because Kerry was upset and got popped up on goofballs.
What match was?
Put himself in holds for like.
Was this the match? Was this the match when Kerry was champion, and it was a rematch, or was this a different match?
This was a different match.
Because they had a rematch for
champion long enough
for
anybody to remember. Kerry wasn't champion long enough for anybody to remember any of his title matches.
Well, he did have one where basically he was supposed to have a rematch, and it was getting time for the match, you know, the semi to finish, and then they're like, everyone's like, where's Kerry? And they couldn't find Kerry, so they had to go tell, maybe it was Jack Victory was one of them in the match, but basically they had to keep going longer and longer until they finally found Kerry, who was in, I guess, one of the bathroom stalls with a syringe in his arm. And
I heard it was in his car.
Oh, he's in his car? Okay, maybe, yeah, he's in his car. And then they brought him in, and he's kind of starting to come to a little bit, and he's tying his boots, and he gets up, and he falls down because he tied his shoelaces around the chair while he was tying his boot.
Oh, dear Lord.
And then he went out and still had an awesome match with Ric Flair.
Okay, Couture, who was Dos Diablos?
That was the Midnight Rider's horse.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So I remember he was at the Magnum TA after Dusty Rhodes got suspended. He was...
Yes, sir.
He was in Diablo Canyon. He had him a fire, and then up rides the Midnight Rider on Dos Diablos, his horse.
Do you guys remember Stomper, since we were talking about TNA earlier?
Stomper?
Was he a rabbit or a kangaroo?
He was like a kangaroo or something, one of those, one of those animals at the theme parks that go around taking pictures with the little kids. They had him out there for like a couple
Wildcat
of weeks.
Wildcat Willie?
Wildcat Willie.
You don't remember Wildcat Willie? WCW Worldwide Mascot.
I'm sorry, I don't know who that is either, but it just struck me as funny.
It was his mask. I think it was like a cat or something.
Okay.
Somebody's in a big cat, so like a mascot at a football game.
Did he
like
shoot the T-shirts out of the gun and shit?
I don't know if he did that. All I know is he just jumped around trying to get people excited.
He was like the San Diego
Chicken. Worldwide, so there was not much chance of that.
Oh. Yeah. Okay, here's another one on here. Jameson. Don't remember this.
You don't remember Jameson?
You need to refresh my memory. That's I'm drawing a blank on that one.
Refresh his memory. So we're
on Primetime Wrestling. You remember when I played that clip a while back and it was on the Bobby Heenan show? He's like, it looked like he came right out of Revenge of the Nerds or something like that.
Okay.
And anyway, he was... apparently, I can't remember how it started, but he was feuding with the genius Manny Poffo, who was managing the Beverly Brothers. So for one match at, like, the Royal Rumble 92, he was, like, the manager for the Bushwhackers.
I see.
Before that, do you remember when they had, it wasn't Primetime Wrestling. It wasn't actually, like, a wrestling show. It was more of Vince McMahon doing a Tonight Show gimmick. And yeah, he was like one of the reoccurring characters on that show, and that's how he started.
Okay.
Him and those fat girls, him and those fat ladies at Gorilla Monsoon.
The Rosati's. One of them died from obesity.
Oh, that's unfortunate. The other one you put up here, I remember this. I remember Dink, who of course was Doink's smaller clown.
Dink, Wink, and Pink.
Right.
Speaking of Doink, remember when he had the Dancing Bears? He had like a couple Dancing Bears on WCW.
Who did? Big Josh?
Yeah, Big Josh.
They weren't Dancing Bears. They were just bears.
Weren't they like on a ball or something? Like walking on a ball?
No, they didn't bust them over nothing.
Oh. Well, that sucks. I remember it much differently in my head. I remember them dancing and walking on a ball and having a ballerina skirt down. I guess I must have been high when I watched that.
I remember Hillbilly Jim Pound Dog when they went to film this vignette at his home, and he had his mattress in this one room with his hound dog, and he was practicing his wrestling moves, and Granny came in there and yelled at him, "Quit messing with that dog."
And the other one on here, it's Alex.
Who did Alex?
Okay.
So it's entertaining.
Okay, my bad.
We could, also, we could do a Spike. That was Rick Steiner's invisible fly they kept in a glass jar. It was. Yeah, it was an invisible fly, and he had the glass jar, and he'd shake it up, and only he could see it.
Tremendous.
Do you guys remember Rocco?
Oh, God, that was horrible.
Yeah, the Road Warriors had a ventriloquist puppet named Rocco.
They did this vignette when they went back to Chicago and, like, to where they used to live, and, like, it's been torn down. And I don't know, I guess nobody's cleared it out for 30 years because it was in the same spot, and they found their old their pet as a kid, Rocco, or their you know, like their little make-believe friend or whatever. And they found him in the rubble. He was still preserved quite well after all that time, so. That was stupid. Huh. I feel bad for Road Warriors having to do that stupid shit.
Yeah.
That was pretty bad. All right, any more, Craig?
I'm tapped out myself. I can't, nothing's coming to mind, which is good because we're almost out of time, so.
I talked about wrestling bears, but I don't think I've ever actually seen any wrestling bears. I always heard
there's
about it. How stupid it is.
Oh,
I
heard
a
bear story.
There's a match on the Wrestling Go DVDs where, and it's one of the more famous ones, and that fucking bear could throw a better snapmare than Hulk Hogan, Kevin Nash, the Ultimate Warrior, and about 100 other wrestlers. I'm serious. He had this awesome snapmare. He would snapmare the shit out of his trainer. It was fucking crazy.
I got a story about a bear. I might have told this story before, but I was wrestling for Tim Flowers, and I had gone up and worked for a local company here in the Puyallup, Tacoma area, and then worked a battle royal for Tim, and then he brought Brian and myself out to a place just south of Seattle called Renton. And we were doing a show in one of the, there's a water park there, and there was a big gymnasium close by. So they'd rented the place out, and we're there, the ring set up, we were running through drills and whatnot during the day, and this guy shows up, and he was wearing a bear costume. He just walks in the building. It was like 3-4 hours before the show. He wanders in and takes the head off, and he says, is Tim Flowers around? So they point out Tim, and this guy tucks the head underneath his arm and walks up to Tim and shakes his hand. He says, hi, I'm whoever, and I just drove from Spokane, which is the other side of the mountains. It's probably an 8-hour drive, maybe 6 if you're on the gas. I just drove from Spokane and stopped at Olympia and got my wrestling license, and I'm here to work for you tonight. And Tim says, excuse me? And he says, I just drove from Spokane. I stopped in Olympia, which is the capital, got my wrestling license, and I'm here to work for you tonight. And he says, well, what's your gimmick? And the guy goes, I'm a wrestling bear. And Tim says, you're not wrestling on my show. And he says, well, why not? He says, I don't even know you. Who are you? Who trained you? And starts going down this list. And the guy ended up getting kicked out of the building, and the guy drove 8 hours, stopped and got his wrestling license, and drove to Renton another hour, and wasn't even booked. Just got in his car and started driving. Said, well, I'll show up with this bear costume, and surely they'll put me on the show.
There are some...
Was,
sometimes I think wrestling fans are like part of the thing to be a wrestling fan is you got to be partially retarded or something.
Yeah. Yeah, that's unbelievable. That was the weirdest, one of the weirdest things I've ever seen. Of course, that got trumped later on, but yeah.
Well, that reminds me of when Brian Alvarez went to Portage, Indiana to wrestle, I guess, Larry Sweeney, and he was crying and bitching about, oh, I don't have time to do this and everything. My life is so hard in the back, where all the independent wrestlers who actually kill themselves to be independent wrestlers kind of got offended. And Jimmy Jacobs put on a gorilla outfit and smashed a banana in Brian's whatever that he wore to the ring.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that happened.
I always thought the rest on bears were stupid.
Yeah, it was kind of dumb. I can't remember where I was watching it, but I think it might have been on the Real Story of Professional Wrestling, where Lou Fez was talking about how... what was that story? He was talking about... Oh, shoot, where did I just hear this? Fez was...
I don't think Lou Fez would have wrestled a bear.
No, Lou Fez... gosh, it was on one of the Stone Cold podcasts.
Didn't Bruno wrestle a bear?
Bruno wrestled a monkey, and the monkey kicked his ass.
Well, Bruno can wrestle a monkey. Lou Fez can wrestle a bear.
I think it was on the on one of Stone Cold's podcasts. He talked about one of this wrestler was trying to get this bear to wrestle him, and he wouldn't. And so the wrestler reached down and grabbed a hold of the bear's bear. And gave it a good yank, and the bear tore into it.
That's the dumbest person who ever lived.
I can't remember who it was. I wish I could come up with a name. But yeah, I'm sure it was on Stone Cold's podcast, like last week.
Well, you got some homework for next week. You can figure out who it was, because we got a couple minutes. You want to throw out the plugs here? Everyone, check out AngryMarks.com. You can always download and stream our show at AngryMarks.com, along with a lot of other shows. You can download and stream our show at BlockTalkRadio.com/Cotrera and older shows at BlockTalkRadio.com/Edward-Laredo. You can follow me at Facebook at Edward Laredo or Ed in San Antonio, and you can follow me at Twitter at Ed in San Antonio, and you can be like Half the Shine Roster and insult me if you want. And, that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
Great.
And you can follow me on Twitter. You can find me if you just type in the word proper. That's me. My last name is Proper, but it's spelled proper. So it's Proper Jam. And where I just hours ago made the announcement that one Vincent Verhey has asked me to be one of his best men at his upcoming wedding next year, and I'm not allowed to say any more, because if Brent Kremen hears about this, I will never hear the end of it.
I want to have like over under on if Craig actually feels so bad for Brent by the time the wedding comes
in.
You spoil the plans and Brent Kremen shows up.
I've already sworn to Vince that he shall not. It's not coming out of my mouth. So. Brent will not hear of it from me. Go ahead, Cotrera.
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at Cotrera35, also on YouTube at youtube.com/Cotrera. I got a bunch of old wrestling videos up there. I'm on Xbox Live under the name Cotrera, C-U-T-R-E-R. You can play Halo 4 with me. I'm probably not going to be very good, but you can try.
Cool. Well, we'll be back next. We should be back next
Friday. Wait. What about? Let me see. We forgot to talk about Ricky Steamboat's dragon/alligator.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that one.
After Snake kicked the snake, jumped him at that Saturday Night's Main Event, and fucking murdered him on the concrete with the DDT, and stuck the snake in his face.
Yeah.
So he brought back an alligator.
Okay, now this would have been smaller, but don't you think it would have been cooler if he would have had one of those like big iguanas instead of an alligator?
Well, maybe they, I don't know. They couldn't find one.
They should have sprung for a Komodo dragon.
Even though he probably when he came out of the Great American Bash and he had one.
That's almost amazing that they got those, because those Komodo dragons, they can kill you just by scratching you. They're like claws.
Or if they can get hit by some atomic bombs and they can be in a shitty Godzilla movie.
Over under on how shitty or good the new Godzilla movie is going to be.
I think it's going to be great.
That's going to be awesome. That looks amazing.
I didn't hate the 98 movie. It just wasn't a Godzilla movie. It was Attack of the Giant Iguana.
Okay, I just Facebooked to you guys the funniest thing I saw today. So, go ahead and open that up.
The fuck is this?
Just open it up. It's tremendous.
That's not Luger, is it?
No. Just open it up.
I am. I'm looking at it right now.
Okay, you playing the video? Moment.
Vince is jacking off to some dude doing bodybuilding for you. Oh, my gosh. But who is that?
It's one of the IBF guys when Vince tried to make his own bodybuilding federation. So it's clips of this, and you see Vince losing.
It looks like he's almost jacking off, and he climaxes, and he falls backwards out of his chair.
Yeah, it's the best thing I've seen all day. I will post.
This explains a lot over the past 30 years.
So with that said, we'll end the show. Ed, I will post this to your Facebook page or your Twitter account. And all of you listening within the sound of my voice, friend me on Facebook and then find me through Ed. And, and watch this video. It's tremendous.
Cool. Well, we'll be back next Friday, hopefully, and if we don't have a guest, we should have something to talk about. And if not, we'll just take it for an hour and a half like we always do. And so everybody come back next week.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the Matrix shit. Let's go hook him up!
Tonight.